You're not a saint by how well you've lived. You're not a saint by how few sins you've committed. You are a saint by what God has done for you and the position that you hold in Jesus Christ.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Job. Maybe you've listened to Straight Talk for some time now, and you've heard the teaching, and it's encouraged your heart, and it has spoken to your soul, but you have never made a clear, intentional decision to become a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference between being a sympathizer and being someone that's a fully committed disciple. The difference is that a sympathizer likes the words, enjoys the teaching, sympathizes with Jesus, but hasn't crossed the line to say, I'm committed more than just a sympathizer. The Bible's really clear about it. It's an act of the will and an act of faith that releases the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of Jesus into our life. There's no magic prayer, although a prayer in faith can mark the beginning of our conversion. It's us being willing to acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves, that we have sinned, that we have violated God's law, that we have made mistakes against God, and that we need those to be cleansed in our life. It's also a willingness to believe and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you sacrificed yourself for me, and I believe that you have the power to cleanse me. The Bible tells us that when in faith we repent, we acknowledge our sin, and we embrace that Jesus will be our Savior and Lord, bow our knee and yield our will, that at that moment in time, truth mixes with faith, releases the Holy Spirit into our life, and the Bible refers to it as being born again or being a new creation or a new creature. Once you've made that decision, then you need to make sure that you plug into a community of faith. You need to find a church and plug into that church. You need to get baptized as a sign of your following Jesus Christ, and you need to begin to grow in your walk with God. That's what it means to be a disciple. So if you've never made that decision, then I urge you, I encourage you, don't let this day go by without making sure that you make that decision before God. And if you do make that decision listening to this broadcast, why don't you email me and let me know, hey, Mark, I was listening to your broadcast. This is the decision that I've made. We'd love to encourage you and send you some material to get started in your walk in God.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Pastor Mark begins a brand new series today called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Today is his first message called Take Your Place. Our text will be found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Let's join Pastor Mark for this edition of Straight Talk called Take Your Place.
Ephesians, chapter 1. We're starting a new series entitled When You Believe, Everything Changes. I heard about a lady by the name of Hetty Green. She was known as America's greatest miser. She ate cold oatmeal because it cost too much to heat it up. Her son had to have his leg amputated because she waited too long for medical attention while she was looking for a free clinic. She even died from a ruptured blood vessel in her brain while she was arguing about the benefits of skimmed milk. Was she crazy? Maybe. Eccentric? Without a doubt. But one thing that was for sure, Hetty Green was not poor. In fact, when Hetty Green died, she left an estate valued at over $100 million. You know, the sad thing about Hetty Green is that she had $100 million, but she lived as though she were a pauper. I believe that I've run into many believers that although we have incredible, incredible resources and riches at our disposal of who we are in God and what God has provided, oftentimes we live as though we were spiritual paupers when in reality God has given so much to us. And really that's what Ephesians is all about. Ephesians is about helping you understand who you really are and what God has really given to you and what you have at your disposal as a believer in Jesus Christ. So I want to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's start there. Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God. The author of this letter is the Apostle Paul. Now, he's called an apostle. Do you remember that there were 12 apostles? The 12 disciples that followed Jesus. And some of people get this confused, but was Paul one of the 12 apostles? No. Paul actually was not one of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus. In fact, if you read the story of Paul, Paul was belligerently anti-Christian. He was raised as a Pharisee, which the Pharisees were among the very religious of the day. And Paul happened to hate Christians. He felt like Christians were the scourge of the earth. He believed that the best thing that could happen to a Christian is that they should be buried. And he made it his life mission to kill believers and to free Jerusalem and Judea from the scourge of Christians. And so he went out to persecute them. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul that gave the approval and the okay for the stoning of Stephen. And it was him that when they were throwing, pelting stones at Stephen for preaching the gospel, that Paul said, yes, let's kill him. Make sure he's dead. And then Paul was on his way to Damascus, which is a city where he had heard a lot of Christians had popped up. And on his way to Damascus, he had an experience that would forever change his life. He was riding with several other people, and the Bible tells us that he had an experience with Christ that was so powerful that it knocked him off the horse he was riding. He saw a light and he heard a voice. And the voice said, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? And it was the revelation of Jesus Christ to him. He was so profoundly touched that he was left blind because of this experience. And he was told to meet a man in Damascus. And the man prayed for Paul. Paul's eyes were open. But from that day on, the Apostle Paul was a changed individual. He went from persecuting Christians, hating Christians, to being a fully devoted, on fire follower of Jesus, that no matter what the cost, he would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. I love that he throws in there the will of God. Have you ever felt that way? Hey, I'm doing this, but it's God that booted me into this, not me that signed up for the job. Hello? How many of you know that sometimes when God calls you to it, it's the will of God, not necessarily what you chose, not necessarily what you signed up for, but it's God's will that puts you in that position. And listen, if God calls you, God will prepare you. Don't fear that. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Does that expression strike you a little strange, to the saints in Ephesus? And some of you are asking, I wonder how many saints there were in Ephesus. Because many of us were raised in a tradition where you were taught that a saint is a person that lives a very, very good life, that does a few miracles, that sort of is cousins to Mother Teresa or that kind, that feeds the poor, and when they die, the church gathers together and they vote on whether this person should be approved into sainthood. And then there's a big ceremony in which people vote, and this person is declared a saint. And at that time, some of you in your religious tradition, you would start praying or lighting a candle to that person. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, I want to tell you that according to Scripture, that is an absolutely, absolutely wrong definition of a saint. The Apostle Paul writes in the letter to the Corinthians, he says to the saints that are in Corinth. He writes in the letter of Romans to the saints. And he writes here to the saints that are in Ephesus. The word saint comes from the word holy. The word holy means to be set apart unto God. Now hear me well. He was writing to the church in Ephesus. And all those that believed on Jesus Christ and claimed Jesus Christ as Lord have been set apart for the purposes of God. And therefore, all the believers in Jesus Christ are declared saints. Who's a saint? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit, you are a saint. In fact, why don't you do this for me? Say saint. And now if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, say your name after saint. Saint, go ahead, fill in the blank. Some of you that says, oh, that feels a little weird, Pastor. Saint Mark. I like the sound of that. Listen, and that's biblical. Because you're not a saint by how well you've lived. You're not a saint by how few sins you've committed. You are a saint by what God has done for you, what is done to you, and the position that you hold in Jesus Christ. If the Apostle Paul were writing a letter to Chicago, and by the way, the letters, the books of the Bible are named after cities for the most part. For example, Ephesus was a city in which the Ephesians lived, and so it's called the letter or the book of Ephesians. Thessalonica was a city in which the Thessalonians lived, so we have the book of Thessalonians.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Take Your Place, which is from our brand new series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. His message, Take Your Place.
If God were to write a letter, if the Apostle Paul were to write a letter inspired by the Holy Spirit to Chicago, then we would have the book of Chicagoans. And we would be saying, turn to the book of Chicagoans, chapter 3, because in essence, these books are named after cities and the people that live in the cities. Tracking with me? So we have the book of Ephesians because it was written to the believers that lived in Ephesus. Now, I've been to Ephesus. The city of Ephesus is found in the country of what we currently call Turkey. In those days, it was called Asia Minor. It was you can still walk down the streets of Ephesus. They've actually reconstructed a lot of it. And it was a magnificent, incredible city, very modern. You know what impressed me most about Ephesus was their public bathrooms. You can always judge a city or a house by its bathroom. And I tell you what, I was pretty impressed by the bathrooms in Ephesus. I actually went into the reconstructed ruins of a room and I said, what is this? And they said, this is the public restrooms. They had a sewer system. They still had sort of the toilet seats made out of rock there. And they had this elaborate, they weren't this wasn't the days where, hey, go behind that bush and that's our restroom. I mean, these were some pretty amazing, elaborate, fancy. This was a city that was metropolitan. It was an influential city in the days of Rome. And it was Paul that was speaking to the Ephesians. Now, I want you to understand a little bit about Ephesus as we jump into this book, because I think it's important to understand the city in which a church grows, because the city affects the church and the church affects the city. Now, let me say that again. The church affects the city and the city affects the church. There are certain things that we talk about on Sunday morning here that we talk about because we live in Chicago. There are certain problems that we have in this city that we have to talk about and preach about because it's Chicago. Atlanta has its own issues. San Diego, San Francisco has their own issues. We are a church in the city of Chicago. And the issues of this city become our issues. What we teach about and talk about are to address some of the problems that exist in our culture because we live in this city. If we lived in Bangladesh, we would have other issues that we're talking about. If we lived in Dubai, the church would look very different and we'd have issues that we're talking about. So to understand the book of Ephesians, you have to understand the city of Ephesus. And let me just give you a brief synopsis of the story of Ephesus. It's in Acts chapter 18 that we have Paul first visiting the city of Ephesus on what we call his second missionary journey. Paul went to Ephesus with a couple called Priscilla and Aquila. They were a ministry couple, a husband and wife team in ministry. And when they arrived in the city of Ephesus, this big modern city, they started immediately to tell people about Jesus. And then Paul had to move on, and he left Aquila and Priscilla, this ministry couple. By the way, can I just pause and say there's something powerful about a couple ministering together. Aquila and Priscilla. My wife's not a public speaker. She hates public speaking. But I tell you what, this church and this ministry would not be what it is today without her involvement from the very beginning. She's been behind the scenes. She's been as committed as I've been committed. And don't ask her to preach, don't ask her to teach, don't ask her to speak, because she doesn't like that. She gets super nervous. But she's been behind the scenes. In fact, she's back in the Sunday school. She's run ministries and Bible studies and done this and that. And there's something powerful about ministering together. And I tell our pastors all the time this, our pastoral couples this. And if you're ministering in some capacity or another, listen, there's something really powerful about a couple joining in together to say, these are our purposes, and we will do this as a husband and wife team. I believe the anointing and the power just increases when two people, a husband or wife, are on the same page together for the glory of God and for the purposes of His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Something powerful about that. So Aquila and Priscilla are left in Ephesus, and they start ministering to people. And while they are ministering to people, there's a fellow by the name of Apollos that shows up on the scene. Now, Apollos is this incredible speaker, orator. He speaks with a lot of power and speaks with a lot of eloquence, and he gathers a fairly large crowd that come to hear him talk about the ways of God. Priscilla and Aquila run into Apollos, and they realize that although Apollos can attract a crowd, that Apollos' theology hasn't been fully developed. That he only has half the message down. You see, because Apollos became converted under John the Baptizer. And so he was preaching a gospel of repentance and turned to God, but he hadn't heard the teaching of the apostles and about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the rest of the gospel. How many of you know that someone can be very gifted and eloquent but not have all the message straight? And although Priscilla and Aquila had a more complete message, they were less gifted than Apollos. And Apollos, because he was a great speaker, he had a bigger crowd, but his message wasn't there. Never allow yourself, hello, hear me well. Never allow yourself to be duped simply because someone has greater eloquence in speaking. Always look at the message. You may have someone that doesn't know how to speak very well but has a complete message, and someone else that's attracting thousands and thousands of people because they can speak well but their message isn't quite complete. So always look at the message. So Aquila and Priscilla gathered together with Apollos, and they said, "Hey, Apollos, we're glad that you're doing this, but hey, you don't have all of the gospel." And so it tells us that Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and explained to him the move of God and the ways of God. And they established a group of believers. When Paul returned to Ephesus, he found that there was a group of believers, and he asked them about their message. And he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And Apollos said, I hadn't even heard there was a Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul, in this transition of history, prayed that they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to embrace the full gospel that had been explained by Jesus Christ. And immediately, incredible things started happening in the city of Ephesus. Paul stayed there about 3 years. And he preached and he ministered, and he ministered to a group of people, and they began to grow in God, and miracles began to happen. In fact, there are so many people that were converted because, listen, when people come to God, they don't just learn doctrine, they begin to change their life. And the Bible says that so many people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and started to repent. Many of them were involved in witchcraft and sorceries and magical stuff. And when they repented, they started gathering all their sorcery books and all of their witchcraft paraphernalia. And as they repented of it, they brought it all to the street and created this huge mountain of sorcery books and witchcraft items and potions, and brought it all to the street, and they had a huge bonfire and they burned it all to the glory of God. Listen, when God starts getting a hold of a people, people start giving up things. They start turning away from things. They start repenting of things. People that have followed pagan ways start giving up pagan ways. The power of the Spirit of God was upon them in such a powerful way at those days that it says, it was here that it says that even the handkerchief that came from Paul, as it touched people, people were being physically healed if they touched the handkerchief that had been a part of Paul. Why? There was so much power and presence of the Holy Spirit that miraculous things were beginning to happen. But how many of you know that when miraculous things begin to happen and people start being converted and God starts changing people, there will always, always, always be opposition? The church of God cannot go forward without opposition. The opposition in this case came from the syndicate, the union workers. Let me tell you why. The union in those days made a huge amount of money. The tradesmen were making a lot of their business and money by making idols and artifacts that people would worship. And so they would carve out gods out of stone, gods out of wood, gods out of metal. And every home that you went into in Ephesus had dozens of these gods that they would worship. There were gods that would line up the streets, and there was the god of fertility and the god of marriage and the god of crops and the god of the plumbers and the god of the shoemakers, and every trades had a god. And so it was big business to make these idols. And what happened is as people started coming to Christ, the union trades guys that made their living off of idols started realizing that Christianity had no statues.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with his message entitled Take Your Place, which is from our brand new series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Join us on the next Straight Talk tomorrow for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.